This is the Daf Yomi Masechta Review, Masechta Chulin, tape number 3.
For subscription information, call us toll-free at 1-888-DAF-YOMI or write Daf Yomi Tapes, P.O. Box 831, Muncie, New York, 10952.
This tape is dedicated in memory of Reb Melech ben Reb Naftali Greenbaum, Zechrono Levracha. Our Magid Shir is Rabbi Yossi Heber.
We're holding a Masechta Chulin on Daf Samach Dalad. And the Gemara says, one can buy eggs from a guy in any place, and we're not afraid that the egg came from an animal which is a nevela, or a trefa, or a tmea. The simen for beitzim kisherim are number one, that they're circular, number two, that one end is circular and broad, and one end is narrow. And finally, there is white, the chelbain, on the outside, and yellow inside, which is referred to as the chelmain. If these two are mixed up, then it's a trefa. If the yolk and the white are together, they're mixed up, we know that this egg comes from a sheretz, so the egg is aser. If a beitza tmeya was cooked together with other eggs, then they are mutter, since eggs don't give off taste to the other eggs. If a blood spot is found on an egg, it usually asers the entire egg. The Gemara asks, how do we know that an egg from an oif tame is aser min atara? Our answer is from Vayikra Yud Aleph, the Eis Bas Hayana, the bas of an ostrich you cannot eat. This bas refers to an egg from an oif tame, which is aser to eat. Taisvis on Daf Samach Dalad cites a Gemara in Brachas Daf Hei Amid Beis, which says that kol hayotze min atame tame, any substance that comes from a non-kosher animal is not considered kosher. Consequently, Taisvis asks why a pasuk is necessary to teach us that eggs of a non-kosher bird are not kosher. We should know this from the halacha based on the rule, kol hayotze min atame, tame. Taisus brings the Bahag, who says that, although really the pasuk is not needed to teach us that the eggs of a trefa bird are aser, but rather the pasuk comes to teach us that the eggs of a kosher bird are mutter. If not for this pasuk, we would have thought that all eggs are aser under the isra of Eivim and Achai. The pasuk Bas Hayana says that only the eggs of non-kosher birds are aser, but the eggs of kosher birds are in fact mutter. Rabbi Gamliel says that if a bird is dyrus, it's a simon that it's an oif tame. But if it has an extra back toe, a crap, peelable membrane in the korkovan, and it isn't dyrus, then it's kosher. Shim ben Elazar says, if when you throw food to a bird and it catches it in midair, it's a simon that it's tahar. The Gemara says, by locusts, the pasuk uses the word leminehu 4 times in Vayikra Yud Aleph to tell us a klalu pratu klal regarding a long head, no bare spot on the head, tail, and so on. Finally, the 4 simanim of the oif are 4 legs, 4 knafayim, wings, kartzulayim, jumping legs, and the knafayim cover roiv of the body. Daf Samach Vav. If it's called a chagav, it still must have the regular 4 simanim of kashrus, or it is not kosher. A fish, in order to be kosher, must have snapir, fins, and kaskeses, scales. What if right now it doesn't have scales, but will develop them later on? Mara says, kosher. What if it has them now, but later it'll drop them when it leaves the water? The Gemara says, this is also kosher. The Gemara says, if you have a fish that has scales, it's guaranteed to also have fins. And the Rashi here says that this is relevant. Look, I'll be a person who has served a slice of fish, and the slice of fish only has scales, but no fins. Even though the slice does not contain any fins, the fish is assumed to be kosher, because if once it has scales, it must have fins somewhere else on its body. However, Gemara says that there are also fish that have only fins, but no scales. Really, you need both, generally speaking, in order for it to be kosher. Finally, from the fact that we have 2 psukim regarding snapir v'kaskeses, we darshan that if a person eats a fish which isn't kosher, he's over on both an aseh as well as a lois aseh. Daf Samach Zayin. A person should not pour date beer into his cup through a strainer of wood chips in a place where worms roam around, since we're afraid the worms got into it, and it's aser al tzasheretz hasheretz al haaretz. And the Torah asserts eating sheretz hasheretz al haaretz, creatures that crawl on the earth, worms, bugs, and so on. The Gemara infers from the term sheretz al haaretz that worms are aser only if they once crawled on the earth, or on something that's attached to the earth, such as a tree. The Gemara says if a fruit or a vegetable became full of worms after it was cut from the ground, the pasuk of Asheretz Atsheretz al Haaretz does not apply. From the pasuk of Hailech al Gachain in Vayikra Yud Aleph, we learn that it's usur to eat a snake, a scorpion, a beetle, and a centipede. Finally, the Lavyasan is a dog tahar, since it has fins and scales. This marks the end of the third parak. Now let's begin parak Dalad, Behema Hamikasha, the Mishnah. If an animal is having trouble giving birth, and the fetus stuck out his leg, and then returned it before Shechita, after Shechita it is mutter to eat. Normally we know the halacha is uber yarech imai, a shechted mother, which is shechted, the Shechita is good on the uber as well. This halacha we talk about here in the Mishnah, about the fetus inside the body, is the halacha of ben pakua. However, the Mishnah says, if it stuck out its head, then it's considered to be born. The Shechita on the mother is natchal on the uber. And if someone cuts off a part of the uber and leaves the rest inside the womb, the Shechita goes on that part as well. And the Gemara says, when we say that the uber stuck out part of its body and returned it, the part that it stuck out becomes aser al tzeve menachai. The Gemara says the keveya for a bechor legabi Yerusha is that it must be that it lived long enough for the parents to have a chiyuv to mourn for avelus for this child. Regarding bechor kahuna, that is the keveya for there is the animal that opens up the womb of its mother. The Gemara says some say that as long as the uber stuck out an aver and it brought back to the womb, came back to the womb before shechita, it can become mutter via the shechita. It's like Bikurim and Maaser Sheni, which leave Yerushalayim, that once it returns to Yerushalayim, it's mutter. Others argue and say that once it's stuck out an Aver, then it's Aser. In fact, even if a little part of the Aver remains inside, if it isn't Raiv, it becomes Aser as well. Daf Samach Tes. If a Ben Pakua stuck out a limb before birth, and then the mother was shechted, so it's mutter. But that limb remains Aser. Now it grows up, can we drink from its milk? Our answer is it's maybe mutter, since regular milk is not considered Eiver Menachai, but maybe it's Aser, since Lamaisa, the limb is Eiver Menachai. Gemara says, Teiku. Kuntros al-Daf here says, and as much as the Gemara does not resolve the question whether to Aser this milk or not, the Paiskim say that since this is a case of Safik Daraisa, we say Safik Daraisa Lachumra, and therefore the milk is Aser. This is the Shita of the Rajba, the Rambam, and Perak He of Hilchos Mecholais Asures Halacha Yud Beis, as well as in Shulchan Aruch Yeradeh Simen Yadalad Sif Hei. The halacha is that if a small amount of non-kosher milk falls into a pot which contains 60 times its volume of kosher milk, the non-kosher milk is batel b'shishim, and the mixture is mutter. The Bach in Yeradeh Simen Yadalad asserts that since the milk is only a byproduct of the entire animal, not only of its prohibited leg, the milk is prohibited only if the leg comprises more than 1/60 of the animal. However, if the protruding limb is less than 1/60 of the animal, then the prohibited portion of the milk is said to become batel b'shishim, nullified in the permitted portion of the milk, which is more than 60 times its volume. The Gemara says if a piece of the stuck-out limb remained in the womb, it remains mutter, except in the case of a kidney or a spleen. The Gemara says just like Maiser Behema does not apply to an Aver or an Uber, since it can't walk tachas hashavet, so too a tmura cannot apply to these cases. Rabbi Yossi says if a person says just the foot of this animal should be an ayla, then the entire animal has kedushas ayla, and it's the same halacha regarding tmura. The next Mishnah. If an animal was having trouble giving birth to its firstborn, as each limb comes out, it has no kedushas bechor, so the owner can cut each limb as it comes out and feed it to the dogs, i.e. can get hana. But once raiv of it came out, then it has kedushas bechor, and if it dies, it must be burnt. And in both cases, both the Resha and the Seifa, the second born does not have Kedushas Bechor, since child number one already opened up the womb. Daf Ayin, the Gemara. When Raiv of the animal comes out, some hold it becomes Kadesh retroactively, Lemafreya. By Kedushas Bechor, how do we measure Raiv? Raiv of the Uber or Raiv of the limbs? This is a Machlaikas. If the Uber never touches the Rechem, i.e. it was wrapped up, does it have Kedushas Bechor? The Gemara says, Teiku. The next Mishnah. If an uber dies inside the womb, and the shepherd puts his hand in and touches it, the uber does not have a din nevela. According to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, if it's a behema tmeah, it does have a din of nevela. Daf Ayin Aleph, the Gemara. Since a chaya tohira is nichlal in a behema tohira, so Just like there can be a din of nevela by a behemah tahira, so too by a chaya tahira. This is learned from the pasuk in Vayikra Yeralv, Zos ha-chaya asher teichlu mikol ha-behemah. If a woman ejects in a pregnancy something that looks like a chaya or an oif, we try to see if it's zachar or nekeva, and shall then observe temeya like a human child. For example, a zachar, 7 days of tumah and 33 days of tahara. For a nekeva, 14 days of tumah and 66 days of tahara. If we're not sure, the Remeir says we go l'chumra. The Chachamim say if it doesn't look like a human child, there is no din of tumah and tahara. The next Mishnah. If a woman had a vlad in her womb which died, and the midwife stuck her hand in and touched the child, so this midwife becomes tameh, tumas shiva, since she touched a tumas mace. But the mother is tahar until the vlad comes out. The Gemara. Rabbi says just like a tumah belua. Tumah belua is if someone swallowed a small keli, which is tameh. Just like a tumah belua is not mitameh, so too if someone swallowed a keli, which is tahar, and then he stepped into a room with a mace, this swallowed keli is protected by the stomach, and this swallowed keli remains tahar. This is called tahara belua, which is the opposite of a tumah belua. Kudrus Aladaf brings that inasmuch as a male kayin is forbidden to contract tumas mace, the paiskim discuss whether the pregnant wife of a kayin may come in contact with a corpse, i.e. enter a cemetery or a room with a dead body, since there is a chance that she is carrying a male child. The Rekeach in Simen Shin Samach Vav, which is brought in the Shachir Adeya, Reish Simen Shin Ayin Aleph, permits it based on the rule of Sfeik Sfeika, double Suffolk. He argues that there is a Suffolk that the Kayan's wife is carrying a female. Even if the fetus is male, there is a Suffolk that it may be an Aphil, it may be stillborn. According to this logic, in a case where we are able to verify, for example today, through an x-ray or a sonogram, and we're able to know for sure that the Kayan's wife is carrying a viable male fetus, then it's also for her to coming into contact with a corpse, because then there's no Sfek Sfeika anymore. You know already one of the Sfeikas is gone. The Radvaz, brought in Simen Reish, disagrees with the Rekech and maintains that based on our Gemara's principle of Tahara Balua, that in all cases, even if the fetus's gender is taka confirmed that the baby is male, the Kayan's wife is still permitted to become Tame. He argues that since the fetus is enveloped in his mother's womb, it cannot contract Tuma. Finally, the Gemara says a klecheres has a special chumrah, in that if something tameh enters its airspace, it is mitameh the keli, even though it never actually touches the keli itself. Dafayin beis. The tumah that a midwife gets when she touches the uber in the mother's womb is only a tumah derabanan, not a tumah midaraisa. If an uber is dead inside a mother's womb, is it mitameh like a mace? This is a machlokes tanaim. Rabbi Shmuel says no. Rabbi Akiva says yes. The next Mishnah. If a mother animal was having trouble giving birth, and the uber stuck out its leg, so it's like Eva Menachai, which is Metama Kinevela, and then the mother was shechted, the buser of the uber remains Tahar. But if the mother was first shechted, then they cut off the foreleg, it's a Machloikis if it's Metama, like a Nevela. Gemara. Hidden Tuma, which is connected, normally is not Metame. This is referred to as Tumas Beis Hastarim. Dafayin Gimel. If a Keli is Tame, and it has an unusually long handle, which is destined to be cut down to a normal size, Remeir says you're only mechuyev to be tayvel the length of the handle, which will remain permanently, not the entire handle. In other words, what you're going to cut off eventually is viewed as already cut off. Kala oimed lachteich kechateich dami. And therefore, it does not need a tefillah. It doesn't need a tefillah. The Chachamim say you must be tayvel the entire handle, even the long part, which is eventually going to be cut off. Kudrus Aladaf brings Taisvis, who asks that the extra inch of handle, which does not require tefillah, should constitute a chatzitza, since it prevents the mikveh water from coming in contact with the part of the handle that will be exposed after the extra inch is severed. The Ran answers that the halacha is that a chatzitza disqualifies a tefillah only if it covers rive of the vessel, or if the owner is makpid and he really wants it removed. The Ran explains that even if the owner plans to eventually shorten the pot handle, nevertheless, it does not necessarily mean that in the meantime he is makpid. Thus, since the added piece of handle only shields a miyut, a very small part of the handle, and also the owner is not makpid, it does not constitute a chatzitza. Taisus answers that Remeir is not referring to a solid handle, but rather to a handle that is made from loops resembling a chain. The mikveh water, therefore, is able to come in contact with each part of the chain that is immersed in the water. Therefore, the extra inch of chain is not considered a chatzitza. In light of this Taisus, the Dovid Meisharim, Chelek Aleph Simen Pei Dalet, considers whether a troublesome tooth that one plans to have removed is considered a chatzitza. Anida, who has made an appointment with a dentist to have one of her teeth removed, should perhaps not go to the mikvah until it's removed, since the tooth is destined to be removed, and it's considered as though it's already detached. Consequently, the tooth should perhaps constitute a chatzitza, inasmuch as it shields the gum from the mikvah water, at the point where it touches the gums. Even though, by the way, the mikvah water need not enter one's mouth, we know that if a woman is tovel in the mikvah, and she's a nida, the woman doesn't have to open her mouth so the water goes in. One's mouth must nevertheless be free of chatzitzis because the halacha requires it to be roi labias mayim, fit for water to enter. This is due to the famous call of kol ha-roi labila ein bila ma'keves, v'chol she'ein roi labila bila ma'keves by the karban mincha. As long as it's possible to mix the flour and the water properly, the mixture is kosher. So too by Anida, who is tovel in a mikvah. We know that the mikvah water must cover her entire body. What about the inside of her mouth? Is she mechuyev to open up her mouth to let water in? Of course not. So if her mouth is totally clean, even though she doesn't have to open it, but it's ra'i for the water to go in. But if there's a wood chip in her mouth creating a chatzitza, then the water isn't ra'i to fully come in, i.e. ain't a ra'i labila. David Meisharim, however, concludes that such a tooth does not constitute a chatzitza and does not disqualify a tefillah. Finally, the Gemara says, everyone holds by a dangling limb that if the animal dies, we say that it's as if the limb fell off before the Misa, so the limb is not Eiver min hanevela, which can be Matama with just a kazayas, but instead it's Eiver min achai. But this same din is not by Shechita. If a person stuck his hand into a womb of an animal and shechted a 9-month-old fetus, which is alive, it's totally in a machlekes between Rameir and the Rabbanan by Ben Pekua. If a mother is shechted and the Vlad is inside, according to Rameir, the Shechita does not work for the Vlad. According to the Chachamim, it does. The Mishnah. If someone shechts a behema and finds inside an 8-month-old fetus, dead or alive, or a 9-month-old but dead, it does not require Shechita, since it wasn't a full-term baby called a behema. But if we find a 9-month-old alive fetus, it will need a special Shechita of its own. And you can't shecht it on the same day as its mother, because of the Isser of Oisei V'es Benoi. The Chachamim say the Shechita of the mother will help for the Uber as well, so no special Shechita is needed. The Gemara. The only thing one must do before eating the ben pekua is to take out its blood. Rabbi Yochanan learns from this Mishnah that only the blood of a ben pekua is forbidden, but its chelev and the gira nasha are mutter. The Gemara asks, can we use a ben pekua to be paida a peter chamor? According to Rameir, yes. According to the Chachamim, it's unclear. If the mother was shechted and she became tameh, what becomes the status of the vlad? Rabbi Yochanan says the mother is a rishon letuma, and since the Vlad is a separate entity, it's considered a Sheni Lutuma. Reish Lakish says it's all one, so the fetus is also considered to be a Rishon Lutuma. Dafayin Hei. When can fish become Tameh? Beis Shammai says, from when they're caught. Beis Hillel says, from when they die. Rabbi Akiva says, from when they become so hard, even if you throw them back into the water, they will not survive. If a mother ejected her Vlad before it was 9 months old, Rabbi Yochanan says this is like a regular animal, so if someone eats its chelav, he's chayav misa. Reish Lakish says it's like a chaya where there is no iser karis for eating it. If the mother was shechted, but was a trefa, and inside we found a fetus who was 9 months old and alive, the vlad needs its own new shechita, and we can't say that it's part of the mother's shechita since she was a trefa. Mara says once a ben pakua starts to walk, it needs shechita, and we can't rely on the shechitas haim. Wherever Reb Shimon Shazuri is mentioned, we paskin like him. Others say we only paskin like him in certain cases. Finally, if someone is sentenced to death by a king, and on his way out he says, write a get for my wife, even if he doesn't say give it to her, we assume he wanted them to give it to her also, and the shluchim should give it. I.e., if he says kisvu, we assume that he means tenu as well. Dafayin Vav, the next Mishnah. If the back legs of an animal were cut off, if below the joint, then it's kosher. Above the joint, it's pasul. If the tsumas hagidin, place where the tendons meet, if those were removed, then it's also pasul. Finally, if a bone was broken, but most of the flesh was intact, then it's kosher, otherwise it's treif. Gemara, what are the tsumas hagidin? According to Rabbah, on the bone and to the outside. Others say, on the bone and to the inside. Rava says, the area above the small bone, just above the bottom bone of the leg. And the thick and white sinews are the tsumas hagidin. Amemer says that Tzumas HaGidin are made up of three sinews, one thick and two thin. If the thick is severed, then it's pasul, because Rav Binyan is missing. Most of the thickness is missing. If two thin ones are missing, then Rav Minyan is missing, so i.e. two of the three. Others say even if just a thread remains, it's kosher. Finally, if a bone breaks and the fractured edges stick out of the skin, if the flesh covers most of it, it's mutter. If not, it's aser. Most of it, which is rive, this is a machlek, is what this means, whether this means rive of the width of the break or rive of the flesh around the break in the bone. Dafayin Zayin. Sinews, gidin, which are soft now, which will eventually harden, are treated as regular flesh, since the Torah is chasa al memeina shal Yisrael. Torah cares that Yisrael should not have to just throw away money. We passing like Reish Lakish against Rabbi Yochanan only in three cases. The Mishnah. If someone shechts an animal and inside he finds ishilya, the afterbirth, it is mutter to eat and does not mitame tumas eichlin, or nevela, if the mother dies. But if someone decides to eat it, it has the potential to be mitame tumas eichlin, since after all it is food. If part of the shilya emerges, it is usher to eat. If a behema ta'ira giving birth for the first time ejects a shilya, it doesn't have kedushas bachar, and it can be given to the dogs. But if the mother was a karban, the shilya must be buried. Gemara. The shechita of a mother is matir the shilya. That's learned from the pasuk in Devarim Yudalad called behema taichelu. You can't bury a shilya at a crossroad, because this is darkei ha'amayri. Abai and Rava say that if we have a practice for medical purposes, i.e., for example, to putting cream on a wound, there is no such thing as darkei ha'amayri, but not for refuah. For example, to remove the suspicion of a future miscarriage, like here. In that case, there is an isser of darkei ha'amayri. Dafayin Ches. If Chas v'Shalom, a person has yisurim, he should let it be known to the public so that they can be mispalel for him. This marks the end of the fourth parak. Now let's begin the fifth parak, Isai v'Yesbenai. The Mishnah. The isser of shechting a mother and its child on the same day, the isser of Isai v'Yesbenai, this applies both in Eretz Yisrael as well as in Chutz Laretz. It applies even when there's no Beis HaMikdash, and even for Chulin. Shchutei Chutz, which is shechting something which is kodesh outside the Beis HaMikdash, carries an iser karas. Chulin shenishchetu ba'azara, passels the animal, but carries no karas. Also, the Mishnah says, even if it's done by two people, it carries no karas as well. Finally, if taket ended up that the animal and the child were shechted on the same day, although there is malchus, the animals are still mutter to be eaten. The Ran, however, cites the Bahag, who says that although min ha-Torah, this doesn't aser eating the animals on that day, there is an issur min rabbanan to eat the second animal on that day, and you have to really wait until the second day. The Gemara. The issur of Isai v'Esbenai applies not only to Chulin, but to Behemas Hektish as well. As we've seen the Pasuk in Vayikra Yud Gimel, Isai v'Esbenai lo sishchetu b'yemechad. The rabbanan say, Isai v'Esbenai only applies to Nekevas and their offspring, not Zacharim. Chananya says to Zacharim as well. Finally, a child will always follow its mother, but it won't necessarily follow its father. Dafayin Tes. We paskin like Chananya that the Isra of Isai v'Esbenai applies not only on a mother and her offspring, but on a father and his offspring as well. We say Chayshishin Lezera Ha'av. The Gemara says it is Osir to crossbreed two different animals. This is referred to as Klai Behema. And for example, this would be a case of one parent is a Sus and one is a Chamor. The Chachamim are of the opinion that it's mutter to mate two mules, because all mules are considered to be the same species, half horse and half donkey. The Halacha, however, follows Rabbi Yehuda, who is of the opinion that Ein Chayshishin Lezera Ha'av. Paternity does not have halachic significance with regard to animals, and therefore a mule's status is determined by its mother, not its father. If one mule's mother was a donkey and the other's was a horse, then they may not be mated, because the first mule is halachically considered a donkey, and the second mule is considered a horse. The Isser of Isai Ves can apply to a crossbreed and a Kai as well. Others say that a Kai has no Isser. A Kai, by the way, is where the father is a goat, which is a behemoth, and the mother is a deer, which is a chaya. Finally, a Kai cannot be shechted on Yantav, since it may be a chaya, and then there's a chiyav of Kisei Adam. But if it isn't a chaya, then there's no chiyav of Kisei Adam, so you're kind of stuck. Daf Pei. Rabbi Yehuda says a Kai is not a crossbreed, but really a new type of animal, a beria bifnei atzmai. Some say that it's a wild ram. The Torah lists 10 animals which are kosher for eating. Reb Shimon holds, Shchita she'ena re'uya leishma shchita. Once a shchita is not done properly, then it's not called a shchita at all. Finally, if a person brings a carbon which has a psul, he gets malchus, but it can be used for bet kabayis, but it cannot be used as a carbon. Daf pe'alf. Reb Shimon says oisei ves benoy is not noyeg by kachim, since he holds shchita she'ein ra'uya leishma shchita. And since you can't eat the carbon after shchita, but must wait till after the zrika, at that moment it's ein aroy. So therefore there's no isur of oisei ves benoy. The Mishnah. If someone shachts oisei ves benoy, and it's a trefa, so it's osur to eat. Or if one shachts any shchita she'ein ra'uya, for example, for avodah zara or ashar haniskal, so it's osur to eat. Reb Shimon says it's pater, since for oisei ves benoy, you need a shchita ra'uya. The Chachamim say chayev. If the shchita wasn't done properly, for example, there was a shahiyah, then all would say that they're pater from oisei ves benoy. The Gemara. If one shachts an animal for eating, and the second one was for avodah zara, so you only get misa for avodah zara, but no malchus for oisei ves benoy, since you only get the stricter punishment, kimle b'derabamine, but you're pater from the other one. Daf pebeis. The para aduma, even after shchita, can be replaced if we find a nicer one via redemption, via pidyon. The next Mishnah. If two people bought two animals, one the mother and one the son, so now we have a situation of oisei ves benoy, who gets to eat it and who gets to shecht it first? The one who bought the first one gets to shecht first, and the number two person must wait till the next day. But if the second one shechted first, then the first guy has to wait. Then he's zeicha, the second guy is zeicha anyway. The next Mishnah. If Reuven shechted the mother and then two offspring, he'll get two sets of malchus for oisei ves benoy. But if he shechts the two children and then the mother, he gets only one set of malchus. This is only one iser, the mother. Gemara. If one shechts a grandmother, then the grandchild, then the mother, according to the Tanna Kamma, there's one set of malchus. According to Sumchas, there's two. If a nazir drinks wine all day, he's only chayev one set of malchus. But if they gave him multiple hasrais, he gets malchus for each. Finally, a lav she'ein by maisa cannot get malchus. Daf Pegimel, the Mishnah. Four times in the year, if one sells an animal, he must announce, "Today I sold its mother," or "Today I sold its daughter." These are days that a lot of instant shchitas take place. You have to be careful because one person may have bought the mother, and now somebody's about to buy the son or the daughter, and it would end up being oisei ves benoy. So they have to make this clear to the people who buy it. The days that a lot of instant shchita takes place, and this is very shaykh to happen, and you have to be careful. Number one is Erev Shmini Atzeres. Number two, Erev Pesach. Number three, Erev Shavuos. Number four, Erev Rosh Hashanah. Basically, adds a fifth day, Erev Yom Kippur, in the Golil. The Gemara. If someone didn't announce this on one of these days, the buyer can shecht. He doesn't have to find out. The Mishnah. The din of Oisei Ves Benoy, the day that we say to Yom Echad, is defined by the night, then the day. So in other words, Oisei Ves Benoy, Leisishchetu B'Yom Echad. Yom Echad begins in the evening, like any other day. However, if one bought the mother, for example, by day, then the second person can shecht the son or the daughter by night, because the night is already a new day. As the Pasuk says, Vayhi Erev, Vayhi Vayker, Yom Echad. First came the night, then came the day. The Gemara, although by a karban regarding Neisser, the day comes first, because you shecht it during the day, and then you can eat it through the night, that's a special exception. There, the day is the first part, of the night is the second part. But normally, when we have all halachas and we speak about a particular day, the day begins at night and it continues the next morning. This marks the end of this parak.